Good morning. Great way to start this session. Who do you think is Jesus? Great question. Some interesting answers there, and I'm sure we'll be in prayer for that interesting debate that will be taking place in your community. It's great to be here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be back and share more from God's Word with you this morning. If you weren't here last week, Happy New Year to you. And you two at the back, Happy New Year to you and others. Great to see all of you, and again, we trust the Lord will bless you for making an effort to be here this morning. As was already introduced, our subject, our series this month and next, I believe, is Mark, the Servant Gospel, and what a terrific focus for a New Year's study as we consider Jesus Christ, the Servant. Our focus this morning is Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at the first 12 verses of Mark chapter 2. If you have a Bible, you can turn to that passage, and while you're turning, we're going to do a little review from last week. Last week, the message focus was the servant's words. Today, it's the servant's deeds. Last week, the servant's words. And I'll just, again, share with you my little mathematical formula to summarize what the book of Acts is all about. We're not talking about Acts this morning, but I did a series on that back in the fall at another church, and it's very applicable here. To summarize the book of Acts, we use a simple formula: words plus works equals witness. And we see that demonstrated ultimately here in the Gospel of Mark, because Jesus Christ is the perfect example of that mathematical formula. And last week we considered his words, and we realized that in Mark chapter 1, there were three key words in Jesus' ministry that he used over and over again, and I discovered they were right there in the text, verses 14 through 17, and in 15 and 17 specifically, we find those three keywords. Who was paying attention last week? What were those three words? What was the first word?
Repent.
Second word? Third word? Excellent. Repent, believe, follow. Three great words to summarize the teaching of Christ. And so this morning we come to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to focus on the servant's deeds. And I will read from the New King James Version this familiar story to many, but one that I really enjoyed getting into this week. Mark 2, verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." The Lord will bless to us the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for your wonderful love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for the opportunity to consider your word together. And as we open it and consider it, we pray that you'll guide us and direct us into all truth. Pray that you'll bless each one who's here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure there have been experiences in your life, as there have been in mine, where you have seen something, you've been exposed to something, and you said, "I can't believe that. That is the most incredible thing I have ever seen." Anything come to your mind? I had that experience a week ago. My brother says to me a couple weeks ago, "I saw this thing on 60 Minutes a few months ago about this free climber, this mountain climber who's a solo free climber." I see a lot of people haven't seen this. I was going to bring it a clip for you this morning, but you know what? It would have distracted you, because if you don't like heights like I don't, it might have freaked you out a little bit, and it might have distracted you this morning. This guy, his name is Alex Honnold. He's 26 years old, And what he is a solo free climber. In other words, he climbs mountains without ropes or harnesses. And to see this guy perform his thing is unbelievable. I don't even like going up a ladder. You know, there have been times we've gone down the CN Tower, for example, like to eat or something like that, the odd time. And my wife and my girls, like, they love all that stuff. You know, they bungee jump, they do everything. I don't even like getting out of the elevator. You know, like, I'm kind of standing back against the wall. This guy has scaled rock faces in Yosemite Park, was what this sort of featured, 2,600 feet. So he is free climbing rock faces that are higher than the Empire State Building. And he uses rubber climbing shoes and his hands. He has a little chalk kind of pouch in his back that he dips his fingers in. And in the crevices, he starts climbing. No ropes, no harnesses. It is unbelievable. I saw this feature last week, and that was my response. I can't believe this. Right? If you're going to see it, have a look at 60 Minutes. Just Google 60 Minutes. Alex Honnold, free mountain climber, or something like that, and you'll be able to see this incredible feat. Well, as we read our passage this morning, how did it end? What do we read in Mark chapter 2, verse 12? These people conclude after experiencing Jesus Christ, they say what? They were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Right? They're exposed to Jesus Christ, and their conclusion was, we've never seen anything like this. And this morning, as we open the scripture and take a look at the deeds of Jesus Christ, I trust you will conclude, as I have concluded once again in my journey, my walk with Him, I've never seen anything like this. Coming back to our passage, three things I'd like to leave with you this morning. As we consider the deeds of Jesus Christ, we realize that they are completely unmatched in history. And as we focus on this one event in Mark 2 and his life's ministry, please notice the power of his deeds, verses 1 and 2, the priority of his deeds, verse 5, and thirdly, the product of his deeds, verse 12. Beginning in verses 1 and 2, the power of his deeds. We read there, it was heard that he, Jesus, was in the house. Jesus was in the house. Immediately many gathered so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Jesus' influence was so powerful that when people heard he was home, the ESV, the English Standard Version, says he was home. So this was maybe a place where he made home from time to time. When Jesus was home, the people just thronged to him. They just came and filled that house to the point where we read there wasn't any room at the door for anybody else to come in. He packed the place out. No advertising, no internet, no BBMing, no texting, none of that to get word out. Word just got out, right? From person to person. Jesus is home. And they packed the place out. Talk about the power of his deeds. And as I thought about that, I thought about what kind of influence do you have in your community and do I have in mine? Is it a powerful influence with respect to the fact that when people want answers, when people are struggling in their lives, that they come knocking on your door? I shared with you a story last week about a friend who used to come by my mom and dad's place all the time. And he and his brother took over a family business. That's a huge business. And whether my brother and I, we weren't even there a lot of times. And he would just stop by when mom and dad were sitting on the porch and he'd sit and he'd talk. Right? And in their very quiet, influencing way, mom and dad, you know, help this guy through life and all that life brought with it. When these people came and filled this house, what happened? Was there this immediate performance of outstanding, unbelievable miracles? Well, no. Jesus did what he said his purpose in coming was in last week's message. What was what? What did Jesus say he came forth to do? What did he come to do? To preach. And so as we look at this passage, we look at verse 2, we read, he preached the word to them. Do you know the word well enough that when people come knocking on your door, you have a response for them? I'm not saying everybody's a theologian. I don't consider myself to be a deep theologian. I will never share with you something you've never heard before, but I hope I inspire and motivate you to practice the things we already know. You have theologians here, people who God has gifted to take you places theologically that is a gift. You see, we're not all called to be theologians. We don't all have that gifting. But you know what we read in 1 Peter 3? Listen to this. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Oh, we sometimes forget that last sentence, folks. To our shame, we forget that last sentence. In our zeal, we forget that last sentence and sometimes do more harm than good. And I've seen that play out a bunch of times and it disturbs me. With gentleness and respect. First of all, do you have a reason for the hope that you have? Are you a Christian this morning, young person? Have you committed your life to Christ? Has there been a moment in your life's experience where you've confessed your sin? Remember our three key words from last week? You've repented of your sin. Lord, I'm a sinner. And I believe, second key word in Jesus' ministry, I believe that you love me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that through faith, you will forgive my sins and restore my relationship with you and Almighty God. And you'll give to me the wonderful gift of eternity. I believe that. And I commit to following you from this point forward. Have you made that commitment at some point in your life's history? I trust you have. If you haven't, friend, today, you can make that commitment. You can commit to following Jesus Christ today. And it's a journey you will never regret. But if you've made that commitment to Him, do you have an explanation, a reason for that hope that you have? If somebody comes knocking on your door today, they find out you're home, right? And they come knocking on your door and they want to know, why are you different? Why do you seem to have this sort of quiet joy about you all the time? Because I know you've got issues in your life, but you always seem to overcome. You seem to have this peace and joy. What's that all about? Do you have an answer for them? Because according to Scripture, I'm not asking you to sort of, you know, summarize the entire Bible. Right? I'm not asking you to sort of explain what Revelation is all about or what the minor prophets are. Keith Logan will do that for you. Right? But we have people who can do that for us. Thank the good Lord for them. I can't. Without hours and hours of study, I can't. And not all of us are expected to do it. But can you explain your hope? Can you tell people about Jesus Christ? These people thronged to Jesus when they knew He was in the house. And He preached to them. And He preached the Word of God to them. We are to do that when people come to us, friends, with gentleness and respect. My dad shared a story with me. And my dad's a... I'm going to bring them next week. Mom and Dad are going to come with me next week, Lord willing. And they like to get on the road with me from time to time, a chance for us to visit and see family and friends, as is the case here. And my dad's kind of he's a quiet guy. He's not an upfront kind of guy, right? But he has this quiet faith and walk about him. And he volunteers at the local hospital in Mississauga. At Credit Valley. And he goes in there every day, you know, and we kind of joke about the surgeries he performed that day or whatever, but he works from like 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock. I don't know how hospitals run without volunteers, right? But from 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock, he goes in there most days and he helps out, right? Delivers mail and whatever it is he does, and he loves to do it. And he told me about a month ago, he was sitting down having lunch with some of the nurses and some other people who were at the calf table. And he'd bought some lunch, and he just bowed his head to give thanks. And one of the nurses kind of froze. She thought he was having a seizure. And he kind of finished his prayer and lifted his head. Oh, Glenn, goodness, he said, you scared me. I thought you were having a seizure or something about that. He says, no, I was just giving thanks to the Lord for my meal. You know what she said? She paid my dad one of the biggest compliments he could be paid. She said, Glenn, you know why we love you? You're a Bible thumper without the thump. That's exactly what Peter's talking about, friends. Oh, we're to stand up for the truths of this wonderful book. We are to represent our Lord through our words and our works. But our influence is to be Bible thumpers without the thump. With gentleness and respect. You want to have influence with people? Be gentle. Be respectful as you proclaim the word of Jesus Christ. Jesus was powerful in his deeds as only he could be. He was powerful because he was God himself. He was powerful because of his love, his gentleness, his respect, and obviously his command of the word of God, which he represented in all its truth. How about you? How about me? As we come to verse 5, notice secondly the priorities of his deeds. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, these four people, these four friends carrying in one of their buddies who was sick on a bed, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the person who was ill, son, your sins are forgiven you. This is a crazy scene. Like, think about this. This is nuts what's going on here. We have Jesus preaching in this packed out house. Right, there's people everywhere. Maybe like some of your homes during the Christmas season, right? You know, our place is Command Central, it seems. And so everything kind of goes on and it happens at our place. And there's sometimes people everywhere. And so you got this packed out house. Jesus is preaching. All of a sudden there's some construction going on the roof. Like, what's this all about? Like, think about it. Now I know they talk about thatched roofs, and it says here when you read it that when they uncovered the roof, so when they had broken through the roof, okay, that's when they had broken, it wasn't just kind of lifting up a few palm branches or something. When they had broken through, right, they lowered this friend who was needing Jesus down in the middle of the floor. So we have these four friends who are carrying their buddy on a bed because he's sick. And they knew the answer to this man's problems was Jesus Christ. And the place was so packed, there was no point standing out the door because people were already pouring out into the street. So how are we going to get an audience with Jesus? I know, one of them's probably a carpenter, right? Let's get up to the roof. We're going to just cut a hole in the roof and down we go. Like, that's a little crazy, right? It's a little extreme. But here again, my thought initially, as we consider the deeds of Jesus Christ, when we consider the power of Jesus Christ as a friend, do I bring people to him? These four guys were pretty good friends. I mean, they're carrying this guy. Who knows how far they had to carry him? And they don't just bring him to, I mean, they perform some pretty quick construction here to make sure their friend gets to Jesus. How committed am I to make sure my friends see Jesus? Through my works, through my words, is there a witness that brings them to Jesus? Do I bring them to the feet of my Savior? And with gentleness and respect, expose them to the loving Savior? That's what we see here. And we find in this passage, we find the priority of Jesus' deeds. Because what happened once this man was in front of him? Did Jesus sort of stop preaching and perform a miracle? Right? So people wanted to see. It was all about the miracles. Well, friends, no, it was all about the preaching. The miracles validated the preaching. Jesus came to perform miracles? No. He came forth, he says, himself, to preach. And the miracles validated everything that he preached. So did he stop preaching? No, he didn't stop preaching. He looked at this sick man in front of him and his four friends, and what did he say? Well, we see in his response the priority of Jesus' deeds. Son, your sins are forgiven you. There wasn't a healing, first of all, here. There was a forgiveness of sins. And notice what Jesus granted that forgiveness on. Notice what the forgiveness is based on. You got to go back to the beginning of the verse. When Jesus saw their, what? Faith. There's that word again. You see, this is a great summary of last week. When he saw their faith, same word, belief, trust. When he saw their faith. You talk about seeing faith. You see it here in action. These guys believed in Jesus so much, they carried this guy, they tore up this house to get to Jesus. Faith. And you know what the amazing thing is this morning, friends? You don't need to leave your chair to communicate your faith to Jesus Christ. These guys went through a lot of work to get to Jesus. You don't need to do all this work. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't need to perform any construction, friend. You don't even need to walk up to speak to the preacher. I know there's some people who go, oh, I don't do altar calls, personally. Because you can do business with the Lord right where you are. And right where you are this morning, friend, you can communicate your faith to Jesus Christ right where you are. If you're at that point in your life's journey where you realize you're just not cutting it, you don't have the answers, you've missed the mark, you're going in a direction you don't want to keep going, and you need to repent of your sin, friend. Remember what that means? Stop. Stop. Stop what you're doing and turn around and confess your sin to Him. And by faith, embrace Him as your Savior and Lord. You can have that communication with Him right where you're sitting. And the response from Jesus will be the same as it was in this case. Son, just happened to be a guy in this case. You know? Whoever you are, you probably use your name. Huh? Dale. Your sins are forgiven you. Wow. You see, friend, this is the priority of Jesus' deeds. Well, hang on a second, Lord. The guy is still sick. Well, Jesus said, what do you think requires more power? To heal him or to forgive him of his sins? And again, Jesus is communicating the priority of His ministry. It's the forgiveness of sins. Jesus cares about your eternal soul, friend. That's His priority. He cares about you physically. He does. He's concerned about the people here who are struggling with health issues. He does care about that. And we are so grateful for the people and the people in this room. Just thinking this and I left the prayer meeting with Dr. Ted and Dr. Phil and our other doctors we have here, Dr. Doug. This place has gifted physicians. And often that's how the good Lord in our day and age, I believe, meets our need. It's through these wonderful people who He has gifted, who He has empowered to understand medicine and to apply it to our benefit. He cares about you physically, friend. I've got a wrecked knee. I was telling him, I got a wrecked knee. They warned me. Like, you know, 30 years ago, they warned me, Dale, eventually, if you keep going where you're going, you're going to wear out, buddy. Well, guess what? I'm 50 and I have to admit it. I guess they were right. I wouldn't have changed anything. But the years of hockey and football and, believe it or not, golf has probably been the worst on my knee. And tennis and all that stuff. I got a knee that's needing some repair. And
The good Lord knows that.
And a knee repair, friend, is nothing compared to what people here are. Don't let me suggest it is. It's a knee. It's going to get fixed. But when I got a problem, I go to this wonderful therapist, and she's fixed me up a bunch of times. And she looked at me about a month ago, Dale, you're going to need some surgery here, I think, but we need to get an expert opinion. So I was to meet with an expert, a sports medicine doctor, last week. I had an appointment on Wednesday. And then they phoned Tuesday, said that we got to cancel that because he got tied up with something else, so we're going to move you to Friday, and you're going to see somebody else. Oh, man, I got to get this fixed. I got things to do, you know? And so I was disappointed. So Friday, I go in and see this sports medicine doctor at this sports clinic. And the good Lord knew, right? Because she checks me out, and she says, Dale, you need a surgery on your knee. You know? And as we talked, I began to understand her credentials. It was her first day working this clinic because she's setting up the sport clinic. She usually works downtown. And she said, I'll give you some clinic hours. She's just been named as the chair and the lead health person for our 2012 Olympic team in London. She knows her stuff. I said, we've got a referral to this surgeon, everybody raised this guy's great, but you know, to try and get in these people, well, you need to see him and you're going to be a priority. I got in my car and I was 5 minutes from the clinic and my phone rings. Dale, you're going to see him at 8:30 this week. Wow. Now, he may have a different perspective, I don't know, but I just thought, the Lord cares even about my knee that I realize I'm the one that's destroyed because of the life I've lived. He cares. It's not always the miracle. We want the miracle. There are people who are making thousands of dollars on TV about the miracle because they got the priority reversed. No, it's not about the healing. It's about the forgiveness of sin. That's tougher. But at the same time, I don't want you to be discouraged this morning if you're struggling physically. The Lord cares about you. He loves you. But He's more concerned about your eternal soul. And sometimes these things come along and they're there to draw us closer to Him. And I know you don't want to hear that because you want to hear it's healed. And it'll never bother you again. I know you want to hear that. But He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. Because I love you so much, I care about your eternal soul. Sometimes He chooses to heal and He can do whatever He wants. But we have to face the reality of life in this world, and sometimes it means illness and sickness and complications. And we hear the Apostle Paul himself, Lord, take that thorn away. Not doing it, Paul. Sorry, pal. That's going to stay, because whatever that is going to draw you closer to me. Why? Because I care about your eternal soul. It's my relationship with you that is most important to me. Son, your sins are forgiven you. That is the priority of Jesus' deeds. Have you experienced that priority in your life? I trust you have, friend. We need to move on. As we come to our third point this morning, the product of His deeds, we come to verse 12. This is a fabulous verse. I gotta thank you for the study. I have loved this study, and I've learned so much from this study. But come to verse 12, and you see the product or the result of His deeds. Here's where we started this morning, thinking about a crazy rock climber. Right? But we come to the perfect Son of God. In verse 12, after people had experienced Him, what did they conclude? All were amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Because Jesus then did turn around and heal this guy. And he picked up his bed and he walked home. And the purpose of the miracle was to what? Was to back up the words. To back up the preaching. Jesus is who He claimed to be, and He proved it over and over and over again by the deeds. You see. And when people saw this, they were amazed and they glorified God. Alright. This is hugely, hugely important now. Younger person, middle-aged person, at 50, I'm still saying I'm middle-aged, even though your special group here starts at 50. I could show up, but depending on my knee, I may not be able to do what you're going to do. I don't know. But regardless of where you are in your phase of life, this is really important. What is the big picture purpose of the Christian life? What is it? Let me tell you this morning, from my perspective, from my understanding of Scripture, it is this: to bring glory to God. Obviously, that's what Jesus did. They were amazed. These people could not believe Him. And what did they do? We read, and they glorified God. And they said, we've never seen anything like this. If we were to go over, we won't take time to do it this morning, we go to Ephesians chapter 1, we read some amazing theology and truths about what happens when we commit ourselves to Christ and we become Christians. What takes place is, again, there's that word, it's amazing, right? And we read in Ephesians 1, Paul reminds the readers, look, because of your faith in Christ, you've been blessed, these are the words, chosen, predestined, adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, and sealed. Wow! Right? Our standing in Christ is remarkable. And we proclaim, as I shared in that prayer meeting this morning, hallelujah, what a Savior! That's our position, that's our standing in Christ. But for what purpose? Well, Paul says it three times in that same chapter, Ephesians 1. To the praise of His what? Glory. To the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1 verse 6, 12, and 14. The reason we have been blessed, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, sealed, and I'm probably missing some, is to the praise of His glory, so that our lives will cause other people and the universe to proclaim God's glory. Does your life do that? Does my life do that? Do my words, do my works cause that response in the hearts of other people to glorify God? You see, that's what it's all about. That's the big picture purpose of our lives. How are you measuring up? How am I? I was talking to Michelle earlier about their trip down to Pennsylvania and what they experienced and the production that they saw. And I was interested in her comments about, you know, afterwards people weren't coming out taking standing ovations. The performance was over. And if people were responding, they were probably responding and giving glory to God. A long time ago, I went to a concert, a Steve Green concert. It's a long time ago. I'll tell you how long ago that is, but Steve Green he's a pretty powerful performer. I mean, that was 30 years ago, I don't know. But what I remember about it was he was a, you know, a powerful singer, but man, could he preach the Word of God? Whoa. And at this concert we went to, he was an amazing preacher, but then he finished off singing and like pretty powerful voice. People started to give him a standing ovation. He wouldn't let it happen. Let's all stand together and give praise and glory to our God. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And the big picture purpose of our life is to let our light shine before men so that they may see your good works. There it is. Your good deeds, to use our title this morning. With the purpose of what? Glorifying your Father that is in heaven. Are you shining as a bright light? Are you a 10-watt bulb or are you a 100-watt bulb? Young person at school, are you shining brightly for Christ? That's still the same application to me at age 50 because I'm still in school. Dale, in that high school, do you shine brightly for Him? How about at work? How about at home? How about in our communities? And this raises the challenge. So we talk about the big picture purpose of the Christian life. Here's the big challenge of the Christian life. To be in this world, because that's where I believe we are called to be, in this world, and I'll back that up in a moment. We are to be in this world, letting our light shine, but we are not to be influenced by this world. That's the challenge, young people, middle-aged people, older people, you know it. We're called to be in this world, but we're not to be influenced by it. That's the challenge. What did Jesus pray in John chapter 17? His great prayer on behalf of his followers. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. He's praying to God the Father that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray, get this, verse 15, John 17, verse, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. There's the challenge of the Christian life. You see, there are those who believe you are to be out of the world. Just stay to yourselves. Stay clean. Stay, just hide out. Just stay with your own kind. That's not what my Bible teaches, friend. That's not what my Bible teaches. If I'm going to shine as a bright light, I need to be in the darkness, don't I? But being there is dangerous and scary and hard and difficult. But guess what? That's your call. That's your call. That's my call. I know sometimes we get close to the line. I know that. It gets difficult sometimes to know where that line is if you're a young person. But we are to be out there having an influence for Jesus Christ so that people can look at our lives as they looked at the life of Jesus Christ and the same result, the same product of our deeds that glorify God. You see? I know what it's like to be as other people here do. I know what it's like to be the captain and quarterback of a championship football team. Hey, Dale, you coming to drink tonight? And I'm only going down this road because there's young people here, but I know you can deal with this. Or you want to come to this place of ill repute, Dale? The boys are going out in the town tonight. You coming? No. I'm not. And you know how I got away with that? And you know how I was able to stand in that huddle and tell these guys what to do and they did it? You know how that happened? I was totally committed to them. I came to that team in the best shape I could physically come. I worked harder than anybody worked. And so you gain respect in different ways. And it wasn't going out drinking. You see? And that's been the case in every hockey team. That's the case when I sit in the dressing room now as a 50-year-old with all my colleagues playing hockey once a week. I'm not going to be playing for a little while, apparently. Guys, it's great to be here. We have a good time. And before the Christmas break, there's a little extra slush money in the fund, so I was going to bring in some beer. You know, just after games. Dale, I'm going to bring you a Diet Coke. I really appreciate that. You see? The challenge is being in there. We got to be out there. That's the call, friend. It's not to go hide. It's to be out there. And whatever capacity that means, wherever comfort that is, however, wherever you're called to be, that's different things for different people. For me, it's the world of athletics. That's how I connect with people. Right? But when I'm out there, I realize I'm not to be influenced by that same world. And that's the challenge. So how do you do that and maintain a witness? How do you do that in such a way that hopefully our lives are causing people to glorify God? Like, that was a product, to use that word, maybe not the best word, but that was a result of Jesus' life. They were amazed by him and they were caused to glorify. How do you do that? How do you maintain that standard of living? I'm not talking about money here. How do you do that? How do you face that challenge? Well, here's how you do it, friend. You stay in God's Word every day. You read the Scriptures. You study the Scriptures. You surround yourself with other like-minded Christian friends who hold you up. You see. You make sure you are coming to church. You make sure you are involving yourself with activities and people who will build you up and keep you on that straight and narrow pathway so that you can let your light shine and people will be caused to glorify your Father in heaven. I remember walking in for my first time into a university football camp dressing room, locker room. And I walked in there as apparently the up-and-coming quarterback to take over this team. The guy was in his fifth year as a senior quarterback. He was done. He'd already had, I think, 6 concussions at that time. And that was in the time we didn't care about concussions. I'd hate to know what kind of shape this guy's in today. Right? But I was the next one who's going to have my head kicked in for about 4 or 5 more years, right, playing this position. And I walked into that dressing room. There was a guy who had just been cut by the Ottawa Rough Riders. He was about 6'8", about 320 pounds, and he took off his shoes. And he was going on about there being pro dirt on those shoes. He was smashing them all over the lockers, trying to... You know what you learn? The big loud guy, you don't worry about them. He's just all blah. It's the little quiet guys. Those are the guys you worry about. But, and I'm sitting there going, wow, are you kidding me? Like, my goodness, you know? This guy's a defensive player. I mean, he's going after me. Not long after that, I go to sit at my own little locker space, and I find under a towel a scripture verse. What? One of the senior guys knew I was coming in and knew I was a Christian. They wanted a little encouragement. There was a scripture verse on that first day. You see, I aligned myself with this guy, and he helped me out. He kept me on the straight and narrow. You see how it works? This is a community. We're all in this together, friend. And we're all in this together, and we're here following the example of Jesus Christ. Last week it was his deeds. This week, or his words. This week it's his deeds. And this morning I hope you've been encouraged as I have by the power of his deeds, the priority of his deeds, and the product of his deeds. God bless you. Let's close our eyes. Let's just bow with a word of prayer. And you will be dismissed. It's been a pleasure being with you. I'm just going to stay up front, I think, after the service. If anybody wants to chat further, I will be at the front to talk with you for a few minutes. And I look forward to seeing you next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being with us today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the person of Jesus Christ, whose life is described for us there. We thank you for the salvation that has been made available to us through faith in him. And for those of us who have committed to follow him, Father, we thank you for the example we have in front of us in Mark. And we pray that you'd help us to be people whose words are like his words, whose deeds are like his deeds to the degree that they can, even though we are infallible human beings unlike him. Father, we are challenged by his example and we seek to follow it. For any who are here who don't yet know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, perhaps today is a day where they are considering the direction their life is going, and maybe they need to repent, as we all have had the need to repent. Stop and turn around and go in a different direction, and the direction is the direction of the cross, the direction of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the salvation of each one here today. We pray that you'll encourage any who are here who are struggling with health problems. Lord, we know you care most of all about our eternal souls, but we also know you love us and you care about our physical conditions. We pray that you would help those, heal those, comfort those who are struggling with health issues. Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us, partially your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.